Well, our next teller, Roger Coles, comes to us from down in Portland, Oregon.
He does?
And don't you?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
As far as I know.
Oh, yeah. Good. I'll always count on Roger to keep me honest, as much as anyone can. Roger tells a variety of tales, but his stories very often begin with the wonder of a child and end with the wisdom of a wizard. Please welcome Roger Coles.
Thank you very much. And actually, we're going to do this backwards. We're going to start with the wisdom of a wizard and go down to a child. One of the things that make us as humans very special is our creativity and our ability to celebrate. But there was a time when this was not the case. And this is an old Inuit folktale that tells you how that began. Once upon a time, there was an old man and an old woman. And they very much wanted a child and had for a long time tried to have one. And finally, when they had a son, they were delighted. Now, the husband was a hunter, and he took his son at a very early age and made him a small bow, and he would take him out into the forests. The father would go out in his kayak and hunt in the waters around their home. And the young man grew to adulthood, and then one day, he went off hunting for caribou, and he never returned. And this grieved the parents greatly, but they were fortunate and had a second son. And he, too, grew to do manly things, and hunting was one of them. And his father passed on the tools from his first son. He grew. One day he went hunting, and he did not return. Pattern going on here. Finally, they did, in fact, after a long, long time, were blessed with a third child, a son, who too took up hunting as his father went fishing in the kayak. And one day, as a young man, he was walking in the woods, and he saw overhead an eagle. The eagle came down and finally landed, pulled back his hood, and turned into a man. And he said to him, "Will you bring festival to mankind? Will you hold a song feast?" And the young man said, "I would, if I knew what any of that was." He said, "Now, I'm serious. Will you hold a song feast?" And he said, "Again, I do not know what song is." And the eagle, as a young man, said, "Now, you understand, I killed your first brother and your second brother because they refused." And the third one began to get it and said, "Yep, whatever you want." And he said, "Well, come with me. We're going up that mountain because up at the top is a nest where my mother lives." And so they climbed and they climbed. And as they were going, the young hunter of caribou heard in his ears a pounding, like a hammer, like a heartbeat. And it was, in fact, the heartbeat of the eagle's mother. And so when they got there, the eagle said, "Mother, this young man has said that he will, in fact, bring a song feast to mankind." Okie dokie. So she taught them and said, "First you must build a festival house," which the young man learned to do with the eagle. Then she taught him how to make drums, both drums for beating and large ceremonial drums. Then she taught him how to sing, and lastly, how to dance. It was wonderful. And the young man said, "I am delighted to know these things. I am happy to do this." And the old eagle mother nodded in her chair. And the young eagle said, get onto my back, grab hold of my neck, for we are going very fast this time. And they flew back to the place where they met. The young man went down the hills, and his parents were delighted, one, just to see him alive. Two, he told his father what had been asked. And they set about building a festival house. And then they went out hunting and fishing and brought back large stages of meat and fish. And then finally, remembering the words of the old eagle mother who said, "Once you have done all of this, you must go out and bring the people in. You will meet them and you will find them in twos." And in fact, when the father and son went out, they found people with wolf skins and wolverine skins, bear skins, and they invited all of them to the festival house. And after eating a magnificent meal, they began to drum, they began to sing, and they danced. They danced all night. They danced until it was dawn. And at dawn, as they opened the doors of the festival house, they noticed their guests going out on all fours. For in fact, they were wolves, and they were foxes, and they were bears. For you see, the magic of festival turns even animals into dancing human beings. And one day, as the young hunter of caribou was out on his own, he saw the eagle again, who landed, pulled back his hood, and said, "My mother would like to see you and congratulate you on what you have done." So they went up to the nest, and when they went inside, there was the eagle mother, but she was very, very young. For you see, when festival happens, eagle mothers go backwards in time and become very young. And so it is in the Inuit culture that the eagle is, in fact, the standard for festival singing and dancing. And so it is that festival was brought to mankind. Thank you. We were blessed to have among us a man named Jay Edwards, and he wrote a large number of children's books, but they were very smart children's books. They dealt with issues like, well, early feminism and disability. And in this story, a story I've started telling again since 9/11, because everyone says, "How could leaders be that stupid?" Well, it goes back a really long time. It's been going on for a really long time. And this is a story called "Everyone Knows What a Dragon Looks Like." The city of Wu sat on a hill. On the backside were the wild horsemen of the north. And below was China. Now, as the gatekeeper for the city of Wu was a young man named Han. Han had no mother or father, but his job was to keep the roadway at the gate swept clear and to welcome visitors to the city. He was given a bowl of rice and a glass of wine for his services, and he was always had a happy or merry word for anyone. One day a messenger showed up and said, "I need to see the emperor immediately." And Han said, "Follow me." And he took him in to where the emperor was. And the messenger said, "The wild horsemen of the north are coming to invade. We're all going to die." The emperor said, "Thank you. You can leave." And the emperor turned to his council who was there, which was made up of his captain of the army, the leader of the workmen, the leader of the merchants, and the head of the wise men. He turned to the wise men and said, "What can we do?" And the wise men said, "There are four things we can do. The first is we can fight."
And the captain of the army said, well, my men are good at, you know, sorting around their heads and yelling and shouting, but we're not really good fighters. He said, what's the second thing? I said, well, the second thing is we could surrender. They said, well, if we surrender, the wild horsemen of the north will cut off our heads. What's the third thing we can do? Well, the third thing is we can run away. If we run away, the people in China will cut off our heads. Oh, yeah. What's the fourth thing we can do? Well, the fourth thing we can do is that we can pray for a great cloud dragon to come. The emperor said, now that sounds like a plausible idea. So they all went back to their houses and they prayed. Well, the next day, Han was at the gate, and a short, fat, balding man with a staff showed up. And he said, I need to see the emperor. Han said, well, he's kind of busy. We're expecting an invasion of the wild horsemen of the north, and we've sort of been praying for a dragon. And the old man said, I know, I am a dragon. And Han looked at him and said, you don't look like a dragon. And the old man said, have you ever seen one? Han said, no. He said, well, there, take me to the emperor. He took him in, and the emperor looked over and said, what is this short, fat, bald man doing getting my carpets all dirty? Han said, well, he says he's a dragon. Oh, he's not a dragon. Everybody knows that a dragon is majestic, has robes of purple and gold, and looks like, well, looks like me. Isn't that right? He said, turning to the captain of the army. The captain of the army said, oh, no, no. Dragons are great warriors, great fighters. They look like, well, they look like me, captain of the army. He said, turning to the head of the workmen. The workmen said, no, no, no. Dragons are great workers, powerful. They look like workers. Merchant said, no, no, no. No, they are smooth and silky like money. And they look like, well, people who have money, me, merchants. And the wise men said, I can cite you 47 books that say that dragons are the wisest creatures in the world. Thus, dragons must look like wise men like me. And the old man said, look, if you would just give me something to eat and drink and speak to me politely, I will save your city. And the emperor looked at him and said, oh, piffle poffle, you're not a dragon. Now go away. Well, the old man and Han turned and left. And as they were leaving, the old man said, I don't much like your emperor, and I don't much like your city. But for you, I will save the city. And Han said, well, it may not be much. They give me a bowl of rice and a glass of wine every day. If you came to my house, I'd be more than happy to share that with you. The old man said, I like you. And so he went to the house, and he had the bowl of rice, and he had the glass of wine. And then he came out, and he puffed up his cheeks like Dizzy Gillespie, and he blew, and he blew, and he blew. And as the invasion began, he blew away the wild horsemen of the north. And then he turned to Han and he said, so you've never seen a dragon? Han shook his head back and forth. He said, well, watch this. He shot straight up, went right across the sky. He became the most magnificent, beautiful dragon you'll ever see, with rainbow-colored scales and breathing fire, and then took off across the sky. Well, the next day, when the emperor and his counselors and the people returned, they noticed the city was still standing, and they assumed that Han had done it. So they gave him a medal, and they asked him to tell the story over and over. And finally, the emperor spoke up and said, and you know, the really important lesson here is that we now know what a dragon looks like. It's a short, fat man with a staff and balding. So again, if you think people who lead countries aren't the brightest bulbs,
You're right, but it's been going on for a very long time. And finally, that wisdom of a child. This is an adaptation I've made of an old English folktale. Tonight, when you go out and you look up at the night sky, and unfortunately tonight you're probably not going to see the stars, but if they were there and you looked at them and you said, are they hot? Are they cold? Are they big as a house? Or can I hold them in my very own hand? Well, there was a girl very much like you, and she wanted the same answers. So she decided she would go in search of them herself. One day she came home from school and she opened her bedroom window just enough so that she could slide out into the night. And that night, after her mother had tucked her in, kissed her goodnight, told her a story, and turned out the light, she got up and she snuck out that window. And she walked and she walked and she walked till she came to a babbling brook. And she looked down at the brook and she said, I'm trying to get to the stairway to the stars. Can you help me? And the brook went, oh, yes, my dear, the stars. They're right here on my face. Help yourself. So she put her hands into the brook and she pulled up, well, she pulled up only water because, you see, it was merely the reflection of the stars. She said, well, thank you, and she kept going. And then she came to a large glen, and at the far end there was a bonfire. And as she got closer, she saw that there were little people dancing around. And she got closer and closer and closer. And just as she got up to the fire, one of the little people came over and said, yes, ma'am, is there something I could be doing for you? And she said, well, yes, I'm trying to get to the stairway to the stars. Can you help? He said, well, you know, it depends which way you go. Some people, they go that way. Some people, they go that way. But if you go straight down this road, as far as the eye can see, four legs will take you to no legs, and no legs will take you to the stairway to the stars. She said, is that true? He said, madam, I don't lie. She said, okay, I knew that. I knew that. Thanks. And she started to go down the road as far as the eye could see, but she wasn't sure she was on the right road. She wasn't seeing much. Ah, but finally, she saw a horse under a tree eating grass. And she went over to the horse and she said, I'm trying to get to the stairway to the stars. Can you help me? He looked at her and said, I only do what the little people ask. And she said, well, the little people said that four legs would take me to no legs and no legs would take me to the stairway to the stars. Now, this is not a trick question. How many legs do a horse have? Thank you. She reminded the horse of this, and he said, well, all right, Wilbur, if that's what you say, get on my back, and off we will go. And they took off, and they went as far as the eye could see. They went to where the water meets the sand. They went to Land's End. And finally they stopped, and the horse said, this is as far as I go. So she slid off his back, and she thanked him, and he took off. And as she was standing there thinking what would happen next, a giant flying fish came out of the water, landed at her feet. And she looked down at the fish and she said, I'm trying to get to the stairway to the stars. Can you help me? And the fish said, I only do with the little people. She said, okay. Little people said that four legs would take me to no legs and no legs would take me to the stairway to the stars. Again, how many legs do a fish have? Thank you. She reminded the fish of this, and he said, well, okay, get on my back, grab hold of my ears, and off we will go. She said, ears? Ears? I don't know if fish had ears. And he looked at her and winked one eye and said, just kidding. So she got on his back, and they went out across the water for what seemed like a long time until finally they came to what seemed to be the center of this large body of water, and the fish stopped. And she said, this is the place? And he said, yes, this is the stairway to the stars, but it's very steep and very cold up there, so you be careful. She said, thanks a lot.
And she got off his back, and strangely enough, she found where she placed her feet, she could stand. And then she saw it, the stairway to the stars. It was like an arching rainbow, and she started to climb higher and higher and higher, and it got steeper and steeper and colder and colder, but finally, she reached the top. She ran her hand across the sky, and it was like velvet. Well, she brought an apron special if she had gotten this far, put it on, had huge pockets, and she started to grab for the stars. And then she saw it. We've all seen it. The constellation Orion, Orion's belt. And she said, I want that. Well, she started to reach, and she realized she was actually on a staircase. She reached again, and she realized how high up she had climbed. She said, I don't care, I'm going for it. And she jumped. She grabbed the belt, and she fell head over heels, heel over head, until she landed in her very own bed. And she said, I don't know if that was a dream or real, but if it's a dream, I want more. And she went right to sleep. In the morning, her mother came to wake her up and said, darling, it's time for school. She said, Mom, I got to tell you something. Truthfully, I went out into the night trying to find the stars. And her mother said, we're having oatmeal for breakfast. She said, Mom. She said, with maple syrup? She said, Mom, this is like life-changing stuff. I need to talk. And her mother said, why is your hand gripped like that? And she went, Mom, there is stardust in this hand. Look. And her mother looked and stopped talking about oatmeal and looked at her daughter in a new and incredibly respectful way. And they went off to have breakfast. So tonight, when you go out, if you get lucky and you see the stars and you look and say, are they hot? Are they cold? Are they big as a house? Or can you hold them in your very own hand? You remember the girl who loved the stars. And I thank you. Though in Portland, I do travel, and if you want to see me afterwards, I have some contact sheets.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roger Coles. Roger, I wish you just, a little suggestion. Could you have a little more fun when you tell? Thank you. Yeah. Loosen up a little bit. Roger, now I know what a dragon looks like. Looks just like you. Oh, I'm sorry.